So as the majority of the world drifts away and becoming more and more existent from God, it's going to continue on, you know. But may the church, right, continue on worshiping and blessing the Lord as we go forth here. So just I'm gonna have a short message here on that lesson that we're going to be discussing here this evening. Receiving, I wrote receiving and living in the Spirit, but the living or walking is the same. I know it might cross just a little bit from Jerry's here, his next one, but it's a little different. I mean, a lot different, but it could do a little crossing on that. So before I begin, let's just pray, and I'll share a little bit what God laid on my heart. Father in heaven, as we do bow here at this time, Lord, we just thank you for this, your blessed love, Father, that we can experience in the mornings, throughout the day, at night, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of God, that we can walk in truth and in spirit, as it says, that we can bring honor and glory to you, Father. We can have our flesh crucified and living in the Spirit. Lord, help us just to continue on as this world waxes. Seem like it's waxing worse and worse, and they're becoming angry at you. But Lord, let us, the children of the kings, children of God, continue on just bringing blessings to you, that we can just worship you and just love you more and more each day. So we just want to say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a little bit here, the Spirit of God. That's the message here this evening. And we know the Spirit of God is gentle. And we can use this for a gauge here in our lives as we're studying on receiving the Spirit. That's our lesson. Receiving the Spirit, that is we know that comes from the time you're converted, at the conversion. So it's gentle. It's kind, loving, and caring. And it will not force itself upon anyone. God, He will not force His Spirit upon anyone. It's only by invitation. And it's up to each and every person. It's up to you to invite, to allow the Spirit of God within. And it's up to you to allow the Spirit within by repenting of your sins. And we know, calling upon Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. But if you don't want the Holy Spirit within, it will stay away. It will stay out. He won't pressure any person. But it does call. We know that the Spirit of God calls there. I just want to turn to that here that says in Matthew 11. We know that He won't force Himself upon anyone. If you don't want Him, He'll stay away. But the great invitation still goes today. It says, come unto me. This is Jesus saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that a beautiful invitation? That is for every living soul today on this earth. He is inviting all souls to come. You know, it's beautiful to have that rest and peace for our souls. And there are some that walked in the Spirit, that lived in the Spirit, that were born again for many years, and the Spirit is not upon them today. The Spirit left. And we wonder why. It's because they went back loving the world, and the Spirit quietly left. He will quietly leave if you walk away from Him. As it says there in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve God and mammon. There's not enough room to serve the world and God. The world has a lot to offer. There's a lot of stuff in this world. And if you just can't have a little bit of world in you, it seems like it progresses and it overtakes you. And God, how big is God? So that we see there's not enough room for both. They're both big, big things. God, the Spirit of God. Plus, God is a jealous God. He won't share his room. He won't share his house with the world. He wants all. Believers, we know the believers have the indwelling spirit of Christ. And the comforter comes from the Father, as it says here in John. Let me just read that again. It says, believers have the indwelling spirit of Christ. We have the indwelling spirit of Christ and the comforter which comes from the Father, as it says there in John 15, 26. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit also assists believers in prayer. It leads us in prayer, the Holy Spirit. As it says there in Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And intercedes for people in according to the will of God. Also, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. As it says there in Romans 8, some of these we have on the paper, one or two of them, but I'm just going to read it again. Romans 8. 26 and 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He also leads believers into all righteousness, as it says there in Galatians 5:16. It says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And also, the Spirit produces His fruit in those yielded to Him. We're yielded to Him. It says that the He produces fruit in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. The believers are to submit to the will of God and to walk in the Spirit. And often the walk in the Spirit is often referred to the practical daily living for the Christian life. And it's a journey. As we are to walk it, we are to make consistent forward progress. As we continue this journey, there should be a progress in our life as we continue on. What I mean by that progress, there should be a continued seeking in a God, in a closer relationship with Him, drawing near. You know, as many people, as they go forth, begin a walk, and it becomes stale years down the road, and they start drawing back. In our Christian life, there should be a loving God more and more. The Spirit of God within us, it should continue. And we must continue to live day by day in the Spirit. And to live in the Spirit means that we yield to His control. We follow His lead. And we allow Him to exercise His influence, or we allow Him to exercise His ways over us. His ways, His wills, His perfect plan that He has for us as children is the way that leads to eternal life with our Lord Jesus, if we continue surrendering our life unto the Father. And also to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. I went And I wrote down a lot of these live in the Spirit, but it refers back to walk. To walk in the Spirit is the opposite of resisting Him or grieving. Grieving, as it says there in Ephesians 4:30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption." In Galatians 5 also, it examines the walk or the ways of the Holy Spirit in a believer. As it says there in Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith God hath made us free, and be not entertained again with the yoke of bondage." Those who walk in the Spirit patiently await by faith the righteousness to which we hope. In verse 5, it says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Also, those who walk in the Spirit or live in the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What it means to gratify there is that if we walk in the Spirit, our flesh should not be drawn to the desires of the flesh. It should actually be separating ourselves from the flesh, from the worldly things. As we walk in the Spirit, it should be separating, but so often we see them closing the gap. We won't give in to the flesh. As it says there in verse 16, it says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things that you would." So we see here that them two will not and cannot go together. And verse 24, there in Galatians, says that we as believers have crucified the flesh. It says, "And that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." Some verses just blessed me as I read that. It says, "We have crucified the flesh." And I wrote, how is that? "With its passions and desires." As I studied that out there, with the passions and desires, our passion and desires for Christ, the stronger them are, them crucify the flesh. It's beautiful because our hearts and desires and our passions gravitate toward God, and that crucifies and it kills the desires of the flesh. Verse 25 says that if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And those that are filled with the Spirit, we walk in love. If we've been born again, filled with the Spirit of God, we'll walk in love. And we'll love God and the fellow men. We'll love our brothers and sisters around us. There'll be no hate in us. There'll be no dislike for any brother. If we're filled with the Spirit, we'll walk in love. Are we a loving person? Also, if we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be full of joy. As it says there in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Why? Why do we rejoice? God had done a marvelous work in us. He has translated us from the power of darkness into His marvelous light. He had pulled us from the miry clay, and He set our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. So we will rejoice if the Spirit of God is dwelling within us. Also, filled with the Spirit, we will have peace, as it says there in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't get caught up in all these things, but just submit it to God. Let your request be known unto God by committing our lives unto God and trusting His leading. There's rest and there's peace. Also, those that are walking or filled with the Spirit, there's kindness. Here we can just gauge our lives here. There's kindness, there's goodness, there's gentleness, there's faithfulness, and also there's self-control. Doing things in moderation and constraint. Able to say no to the flesh. Are we able? Are we walking in moderation? Do we have self-control in our life? We see something immodest walking over here. Are we able to look this way? Or do we, being filled with Spirit, there is self-control? Or does the Spirit override the flesh in our lives? Being filled with the Spirit, we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us in thought, word, deed, as it says in Romans 6:11-14. It says, for sin should not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? But God forbid. But under grace, God forbid. Know ye not, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, or the obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of God, of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Sorry, I read the wrong side here. From 6:11 it says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto their sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as the instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin should not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And also, just as Jesus did when he was full of the Holy Spirit, he left Jordan to be led in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, as it says there in Luke 4:1. And as well, as children of the King, we will be tempted at times in this life. As we repent of our sins, confess them to God, and become children of God, filled with the Spirit, we can overcome anything that Satan tempts us with as well. Because know ye not that we are the temple of the living God? We are the temple of the living God. And just to sum this up, just the last a few things here yet. To be filled with the Spirit, clear this, it happens at conversion. As you surrender your life to God, repent of your sins, and there is a sorrow for your past life, the Spirit gently enters within you, the Holy Spirit living in us. Just ponder that. It's not the churches that are baptized by the Holy Spirit. I have a friend that I knew for many years in Pennsylvania. I stayed there when he was still in the Amish, and we became great friends, good friends. I was there as he came through and got converted, and his life changed, and he threw his sinful habits, sinful nature disappeared, and he got born again. But years down the road, he stopped at my house one day, and he told me that he was slayed by the Spirit. And I looked at him and said, well, you were born again in 2008, right? He goes, yes. I was born again back then, but I received the Spirit. It was like 5 years later. And he said that the Spirit came in. It was so powerful that it knocked him to the floor. And I just ponder, I said, the Spirit is gentle, right? Let's not be confused of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is gentle, is kind. So with the Holy Spirit living within us as children of the kings, we should walk reverently in the fear of God. It says, know you not that the temple of the living God is within us? Look, so ponder that. If God is in us, we need to walk reverently in this life, in this wicked and perverse world. So God bless you, and looking forward to the lesson here this evening as well. So.